You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Now, everybody can agree, I think, that toxic coworkers can make even a dream job pretty miserable. But most people wouldn't admit that they are the problem coworker. In fact, many people have no idea that they might be in the wrong. Our next guest is a psychologist who's been studying workplace dynamics, and in a recent piece in the Wall Street Journal, she raises the question, what if the jerk is you? You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you ever had that annoying, problematic, flat-out toxic coworker, or worse, boss? What do they do? Or have you ever realized that you were the problem? If so, how did you fix it? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Tessa West is a professor of psychology at New York University and author of the book Jerks at Work, Toxic Coworkers and What to Do About Them. Tessa, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I mentioned most people wouldn't admit that they're the problem, but in your book, one of your first examples of when somebody's being kind of a jerk at the workplace, you give yourself. Very honest and refreshing. Could you talk about that story and how it got you thinking about jerks at work?
Yeah, I think there's nothing like a little lesson in humility to motivate you to write a book on this topic. Yeah, you know, I study interpersonal behavior and I study how to smooth over uncomfortable interactions. And I actually found myself in a power role at work, relative, it's academia, not a ton of power, but I was in charge of an office move. And what I found was that people who normally like me were coming to me and they were crying in my office. They didn't like, you know, that I had moved them to a room with a weird pole in the middle of it, or that I was, you know, being really domineering and bulldozing and taking over. And I kind of turned into this nightmarish version of myself. And I felt very alone and sad. And I felt very sorry for myself that I had become a jerk. But then I realized if I don't have the skills to deal with this stuff, you know, how are regular people who aren't trained social psychologists supposed to deal with it? And honestly, no one told me. I kind of just figured this out by processing it with friends and with coworkers. But really, no one ever came to me and said, look, you've been a real jerk. Like, you need to change your behavior. So that was a good lesson for me.
And that's part of your lesson in this Wall Street Journal piece, is that part of the reason we might be jerks and stay jerks is we're all too nice to tell each other and, you know, bring up that this is a problem in the first place. How big a part of the story is that?
Yeah, I think it's a huge part. I think there's not a strong norm to confront, partly because we don't really learn how to confront wisely at work. We tend to just avoid confrontation because we don't know how to say to someone, I don't like your behavior. Instead, what we do is we talk about how we feel disrespected. You know, we talk about people in terms of their personality traits, you know, you don't trust me or you're not a trustworthy person. And those kind of big, scary things tend to make people super defensive. They engage in reverse blame. Well, maybe if you had it together, I wouldn't have to micromanage you and things like that. So these conversations go poorly and we learn this very early. And so we avoid them. And then if you throw power in there or status in there, it's way worse. And so as a consequence, we're not getting feedback that the little things we're doing are irritating people that really add up to the big things. And, you know, we avoid giving it to people and it really kind of creates this bad situation for everybody.
So what are the red flags we should watch out for to figure out, hey, I'm the problem here?
Yeah, I think kind of one of my favorite red flags doesn't really feel like a flag at all. It's just the absence of positive feedback. So I think most of us expect that if we're behaving badly, we're going to get a lot of negative feedback at work. But what I've actually found is that if you're the jerk, people will not respond to those email requests from hiring managers or recruiters who are looking to see what you were like to work with. You know, favors go unanswered. Nobody shows up to your happy hour that you put together. It's more like crickets. It's more like tumbleweeds. An absence of positive feedback, not so much a presence of negative feedback that's telling you that maybe your behavior isn't so welcome in the workplace. So I think a lot of us don't attend to not getting any feedback as a form of a sign that we're a jerk. But I think that's actually one of the kind of biggest signs that we get is people just aren't weighing in. They're not helping you out. They're not putting in a good word for you.
Talking to psychology professor Tessa West from New York University, author of the book Jerks at Work, Toxic Coworkers and What to Do About Them. She wrote a piece in the Wall Street Journal about figuring out if we are the problem, if we're the jerk at the workplace. You could join in with your thoughts, experiences, maybe, or questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Okay, Tessa, maybe we've spotted that red flag, that absence of positive feedback, and we want to figure out. So I don't know how I would do this. Hey, everybody. How am I terrible? Tell me how I'm terrible. Like, this isn't something I necessarily, a conversation I want to start.
Yeah, definitely don't ask people how you're terrible. They're going to say, no, you're so great. I love working with you. And then you're going to walk away and they're gonna be like, he's terrible. No, what you have to do is ask for feedback about the very specific things you do. Don't ask for feedback about what people think of you. And I think we tend to not think of feedback as like bite-sized and immediate. You know, say you have a meeting with someone and then at the end of it, you say, how did that go? Did you feel like you had a chance to speak up? Or, you know, did I cut you off too many times? Or when I went through that document of yours, did you feel like I was kind of line item editing too much or not enough? Ask for just really kind of specific, almost mundane level of feedback that people aren't scared to be honest about. The closer it is to just a very specific behavior, the more likely they are to actually tell you what they think. So they're not going to tell you that they think you're terrible, but they probably will tell you if they didn't feel like they had a chance to speak up, or they felt like, you know, maybe you interrupted them too many times, or maybe your feedback was a little too vague. Whatever the thing is, the more specific you ask, the better. And I think if you don't have a culture of feedback where you work or where you live, start with really boring, mundane things that just warm people up to the idea of giving you any kind of feedback. You know, my workplace, where there's some status differences between, say, me and an undergrad, I'll ask them what they want to do for catering for lunch, just to get them to be comfortable with just giving me feedback about anything. I warm them up to it and get them used to it before I ask for real stuff, you know. And I think we often kind of forget that initial step that makes people much more comfortable.
I want to talk about a specific kind of jerk that's a hazard in my profession, I think. I haven't encountered this here so much, but elsewhere in the country, public radio hosts, in some cases former public radio hosts and other people in the media, who say, yeah, I'm a jerk. That's because I'm demanding. I have high standards. If I yell at you, there's a good reason for it. My way or the highway. You don't like that? Then find another job. The self-justifying jerk. How can we get people, and I don't appreciate that attitude, by the way. How do we get people out of that mindset if that's where they are?
Jerks are born out of cultures that promote them. I think a lot of us think jerks are bad apples, but often they really grow and flourish in places that allow that to happen. I think you have to frame it as a loss for their behavior to continue. Insofar as they get to do those things, that they can yell at you, scream at you, and they still get promoted and their boss still loves them, it's really hard to fight against a culture that promotes jerks. And what I tell people is, if that's what you're up against, you know, and that the culture really feeds it and loves it, you're probably going to want to take a new job. But if that person is doing that, and they're not actually realizing the real harm it's doing to them, then you have to really frame their behavior as a loss. You know, because you're doing X, the following things have personally negatively affected you. You've lost this person, and this person. Turnover is expensive. Now you're going to have to retrain them. So make it expensive for people to act that way. Expensive in terms of time, expensive in terms of money, whatever resource they care about, they have to feel like they're going to lose that resource if they continue their behavior. Don't try to go with like a bleeding hearts approach. It would be so much better if you were just nicer. Why would they care? What are they going to lose by continuing this behavior? And I think this is true when you approach a boss as well. If you have a jerk at work, your boss loves them. Well, what is your boss going to lose if they continue to let this happen? Are they going to lose other employees? Are they going to lose sales? What's it going to be? Focus on that, and then people will change their behavior, because it really has to be extrinsically motivated at that point.
Tessa West is a professor of psychology at New York University, author of the book Jerks at Work. We're talking to her about office jerks, bad coworkers and bosses, and how to know if you are the problem. You could join in at 800-642-1234. It's awesome, though, because we're here in Wisconsin. Nobody's calling. I guess we're all great coworkers here. Nobody's had a bad experience like this. Maybe you did. Call in at 800-642-1234. If you have a story about a time when you caught yourself being the problem, or an unsolved workplace culture where these kind of problems were let go, join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Tessa West, professor of psychology at New York University and author of the book Jerks at Work, Toxic Coworkers and What to Do About Them. Talk about how to tell if you're behaving like a jerk at work and what to do about it. You could join in at 800-642-1234. If you have a story you're willing to share about a self-discovery moment where you realized, hey, I'm causing the problem here at work. How did you figure that out? How did you fix it? Are you in a workplace where jerkiness of one form or another is tolerated? Join in at 800-642-1234. Did you find ways to fix it? 800-642-1234 is the number, or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Let's go to your calls now. Janet is with us in Burlington. Janet, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
I wanted to bring up, I think, as a former retired naval officer and civilian supervisor, a lot has to do with who is the employer. You know, if it's a right-to-work employer, you can just say to a person as a supervisor, you know, this really isn't working out, and you really don't have to document. But if you are a federal employee or a state or city employee, you have to go through the whole progressive discipline thing. There are actually books written about how to fire a federal employee because so many times it's so difficult that people just don't do it, and they just keep on passing somebody's problem on to the next employer.
Janet, I gotcha. Thanks for the call. Tessa, I mean, it may be easier or harder to hire a jerk in one workplace or another. I'm guessing there's no such thing as a completely jerk-proof kind of environment, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love this point because we often underplay the role of the structure of the workplace has. We often think about the workplace as having structures to protect us from jerks, but some of those things that protect us can actually make it harder to fire the jerks themselves. And I think federal versus state, you know, union is another example of that. People often feel protected by their unions, but it's very difficult to fire a jerk who's a union employee as well. So I think kind of, you know, the nice part about this comment is that when you interview for a job, knowing exactly what those structures and systems are in place to protect you, but also to protect a potential jerk is really, really important. And in some workplaces, they just pass the baton over. You know, the jerk goes from kind of one silo to another because it's really hard to fire that person, or it's expensive, or that, you know, retraining is really hard. And I see this a lot. One of the biggest complaints I get is similar to this, which is just, there's not a structure in place to actually clean out a jerk in an easy way. It's too hard. It's too expensive. They have too many protections. But a lot of people don't ask about those kinds of structures and systems when they're interviewing. And I think knowing what steps are in place and where to go and who's going to be protected, the victim or the jerk, is also something that we can highlight. And I think people have kind of complained to me from both sides of this, that these jerks are being protected, but also the victims are being protected. So I think it really depends on the perspective. But I like that kind of highlighting the higher level structural component here and how that feeds into this problem.
Thanks for that call, Janet, at 800-642-1234. Anne joins us now in Duluth. Hi, Anne.
Hi. A while back, I was working with someone who was extremely sarcastic and very short with people, really unpleasant. And one day she invited me out for lunch, and I thought, oh my gosh, I'd rather not eat. I was kind of young at the time. And so she said to me very directly, why don't people like me? And I remember thinking, I can either tell her the truth or I can just say, oh, I don't know why you would think that. People like you, and lie, which I really wanted to do. But in a nice way, I told her the truth. And it was interesting because she turned it around, and she ended up marrying a guy we worked with. And we were all good friends, and it just turned out so much differently than what I had expected originally.
Wow, fascinating story, Anne, and so right on with what we're talking about, Tessa. Not many people would do what Anne's coworker did, and as you were saying earlier, not everybody would answer the way Anne did.
I love that. And I think it highlights this point that we often assume jerks are out to get us, that they're doing it intentionally, and that they're doing it knowingly. And I think often jerks don't even know they're jerks. In fact, their behavior is more costly to them than it is to other people, or at least just as costly. So just a little bit of a wake-up call often goes over a little bit more positively than we think. And I think a lot of the people that I've coached, they have no idea how they're coming across to others. No one's ever told them, and they're much more receptive to feedback than I ever thought they would be. In fact, I usually tiptoe around this. I warm them up to it. And once I tell them, I sort of do that grin and bear it thing. And they tend to just say, thank you so much. No one's really ever given me any kind of feedback like this. So it's lovely when it works out. And I think it's great that this person was receptive. And it just sounds like they just never were told. Chances are they probably have had that problem for a really long time in their life. They had a hard time making friends in high school, maybe never quite got to the bottom of the issue. So I think that highlights this point that sometimes we just have no idea how we're coming across to other people.
Thanks again for that call, Anne. Let's flip things around, Tessa. If someone in Anne's situation, they hadn't gotten that outreach, but they think this person's probably all right, but they probably don't know. Like, is there a good etiquette to reach out and tell somebody, not you're a jerk, but here are the things that are, I don't know, how do we have that conversation?
Yeah, I think it's a really tricky conversation. I think kind of there's a few principles around it. One is, you don't want to tell someone that you think they're sarcastic. I mean, this person called themselves sarcastic. You know, you want to focus on the very specific things that they're doing. And when you do it, what you want to do is bring up the behavior. I noticed that you, in the last meeting, you talked for most of the time. Is that something that you noticed as well? So you want it to be a back and forth. You don't want to just kind of deliver information. You want to bring up a behavior. You want to maybe say what you thought that behavior was indicating and then ask them what they meant by that behavior. One of the biggest mistakes we make is assuming that we know why people are doing what they're doing. We make what are called attributions. We automatically infer the cause for behaviors, when in reality, we often don't know those things. So simply just asking people, why did you do that? Or what did you mean by that? Feels way less threatening than saying, when you did it, you meant X. And I think as you go through this process, you also want to make it a two-way street. And most people don't like this, but when you're giving someone feedback that they're being a jerk, you want to ask them for feedback about you as well. You want to kind of insert into the conversation, do you have feedback for me? Or what did you think when I did this thing in the meeting? How did that come across? So that it feels like both of you are just giving each other feedback and asking for feedback. You know, it's a little bit of a Trojan horse way of kind of delivering the news, but it makes people feel much more comfortable if they feel like they're not just being attacked and kind of, you know, being yelled at or being shamed for their behavior. Hmm. But
thanks to our guest, Tessa West, professor of psychology at New York University, author of the book, Jerks at Work.